Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show podcast. Think of it like a magazine or a box of chocolates. You never know what you'll get. From politics to pop culture, healthcare to legal issues, it's all here. And my behind-the-wheel chats are personal observations created especially for you on podcast only. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
And welcome back to the show today. We are having a really, really fun time with some marvelous, marvelous young people. Joining us in the studio are students that are celebrating the fact that they tied a state competition and now they go to a national competition for the We the People competition, which is about knowing our Constitution and being able to argue it. And so joining us now is their teacher, their leader, Suzanne Kammerman. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
And also we have Abe Lobson.
Hello.
Abe. And Sorrel Kennedy. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. And Sorrel's making a repeat performance because she's a multi-talented gal, having been on as a member of Staples Players and the Prom, which I didn't realize, Sorrel, until you walked into the studio. So let's begin with you. So you're a multi-talented person.
Oh, thank you.
You like to speak out and sing out.
I really do. I was talking to Abe about this on the car ride here, but I love like public speaking, performing, and I love history. I love social studies. So We the People is a really great opportunity for kind of all those interests coming
along. And what is We the People? What is it?
We the People is a class offered at several high schools across the country, actually. It's like a nationwide competition.
So it's its own class? It's an elective in addition to social studies?
Yes.
Okay.
And at our school, we combine it with the AP Gov curriculum, but not all schools do that. Some schools just have We the People as a class. But basically, there are six units that are part of We the People. Each unit is a different area study, I guess, of government or constitutionalism or etc. Like my unit, I'm in unit one, and that covers the philosophical and historical foundations of the United States government. So back in the fall, we answered, you write three drafts, basically. So you have three questions and you write three drafts in response
to that. You was an individual or the class or what? Explain.
So there are six different units and the whole class is divided into those six units.
So let's say there are 20 kids. So three or four kids a unit. And are these pods of kids collectively writing something?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. And you've got this prompt and then you're writing back. And is that graded?
Yeah, it's graded.
So it's submitted back to the teacher.
Yes.
Okay, so give me an example of a prompt.
So one of our questions in the fall for the state competition was how the Protestant Reformation kind of contributed to the formation of the American government and how the ideals...
That's a good question.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting to
learn. It requires a lot of research to answer that question.
Yes, and in addition to the drafts, you have questioning. So the judges, you read your drafts to the judges at the competition, and then they'll ask you any questions that are related to the draft, and you have to answer them.
Fantastic. So Abe Lobson, what prompts your interest in this area?
My interest in We the People is similar to Sorrel's. It's a little bit different, though, in the sense that I really like the logic associated with the Constitution.
Good and luck with that.
Okay. Yeah, with legal reasoning. I'm very much into STEM, into science and math. And so I like that legal reasoning offers that kind of like duality between logic and like public service. It's kind of like the bridge between the like literature and the arts and
it's STEM. So refreshing to hear you think and say that you think that there is a relationship between the way government is formed and ought to act and logic and math and science, because a lot of people would argue the contrary, that STEM and those areas of intellect really do have questions and answers, but the area of government and politics is very wishy-washy. Like, I majored in political science in college. My daughter majored in neuroscience, and she said I majored in arts and crafts. Okay, not arts and sciences. She said, Mommy, arts and crafts. And I couldn't really argue with her. So what I love, Abe, is that you see the connection. And tell me about how we the people as a unit, as an organizing curriculum, tell me about how that has continued to be aligned in your view with logic and reasoning.
Well, my unit, which is Unit 4, focuses extensively on the political science aspect of government. So a lot of our questions are related to interactions between the three branches of government. Most of them, especially in the fall, for the state competition, focused on logical, like existent precedent with regards to checks against and between the different branches
of
government.
So what was the question you were asked?
One of the questions we were asked was about the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And congressional checks on the Supreme Court. Now, recently, Supreme Court members like Justice Alito have argued that against congressional regulation and checks against the court. But in that draft, we really took the perspective that many congressional checks exist that have been supported by historical precedent, and that there are some novel checks that may be needed to address the fact that many justices don't think that Congress can check their behavior.
So you think that, notwithstanding the concept of judicial review in Marbury versus Madison, that there are still some constitutional things, checks, that prohibit the Supreme Court from exercising unfettered power?
Yeah. Interestingly, there's one that I hadn't heard about previously, that Congress sets the jurisdiction of, mostly it applies to the lower judiciary rather than the Supreme Court. But Congress gets to determine the jurisdiction. Additionally, Congress regulates the size of the Supreme Court, where it meets, if it meets in it, like at all, in some ways. And additionally, there I think some modern checks that may actually go into place concern ethics violations.
So, in other words, the power of Congress to say that the Supreme Court has to have some self-governance with respect to ethics, you would think would be constitutional, that they could force the Supreme Court to do it. Of course, the problem is the ultimate arbiter is the Supreme Court itself, and
yes,
they could say,
that is.
I don't think so.
Exactly.
Right.
But there was a proposed act, and I think it's still making its way through Congress. It's called it's abbreviated as SCRT, the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act. And personally, I'd say even though the Supreme Court must remain independent to some extent in accordance with Federalist 78, I truly believe that there needs to be more stringent regulations and checks on the independence of individual justices with regard to their recusal process.
So were you not happy, for example, to hear about the various gifts that Clarence Thomas received? Did that bother you?
It did bother me. And honestly, what bothered me most about that was I sort of perceived it as a little bit humorous in the sense that these justices have a responsibility that's been ingrained in their in history. They're seen as very respectable, like scholars, and yet they're accepting gifts. They have billionaires pledging to found museums in their name, and they're not recusing themselves from cases which involve these people. I think it's unfortunately a little bit humorous to the point where you have late night comedy shows making jokes about justices. Never would have happened
right.
in history.
Right. Pretty disappointing. So we're chatting with with Abe Lobson, who you're hearing right now, Saul Kennedy, and the teacher that guides these brilliant young minds is Suzanne Cameraman. Hello, Miss Cameraman.
Hi, nice to be here.
Hi, nice for you to come. So you are the guiding force. Are you a social studies teacher at Staples High School?
I am.
And is this one of the first times or the first time that Staples has ascended to the state level? Trumbull is the powerhouse in Connecticut, right?
They have been. This is actually our sixth trip to the national competition.
Congrats.
We did win the state competition back in 2019-2020 school year. But other than that, we've been attending the national competition as a wild card. We come in second place at the state competition. But that still manages to give us a spot at the national competition. But I was really proud this year of the students for taking a piece of that first place champion.
So, and what does this mean with points and pods and units? Does this mean that Abe and Sorrel are not presenting together in the national? How does it work?
That is correct. Each unit presents separately in front of a set of judges, and they're scored separately. And then the scores from each unit are tabulated together.
Oh.
So we progress or don't progress as a team.
As a team.
Yes.
So everybody's got to keep their weight up, so
exactly.
to speak.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Exactly.
And is this an oral competition? Are they required to publicly not just put something in writing, but answer to it?
Yes, they're actually delivering that response to the judges. And then the judges have an opportunity to ask them questions. They have no notes during the questioning. They don't know what's going to be asked of them. And they're asked some pretty tough questions.
So like a trial lawyer for a judge or like a Supreme Court or a Socratic method in law school.
Yeah, they call it the simulated congressional hearing. So
I
the notion that the judges are Congress.
I see.
And the students are testifying.
I love that. I love that. You guys know I'm a judge, right?
Really?
Really? I did not know that.
So let me just give you, I'm going to say this on air. I'm going to say this and I want you to hear this. Always do your research about somebody who's asking you questions. Mm. Just remember that the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good advice.
Thank you.
Good advice. Right?
Thanks.
Quick Wikipedia on me would show you that I've been your probate judge in Westport for over 10 years.
What?
I've been elected 4 times. So, and you've probably seen my signs around town.
Wow.
Every November, every 4th November. So,
I think I have, now that I'm remembering.
Yeah, they were big signs. I'm into signs. So the reason I mention it is you talk about testimony. I have people in my courtroom every single day, and I'm asking them things, and I expect them to know what they're talking about, and I think that that is going to be fantastic for you in the real world of life, no matter where you are, job interview, a date, it doesn't matter, to be able to think on your feet. This is really fantastic. It's really quite wonderful. So do you do this in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
When do you go?
It's our April break, I believe, April 12th.
We leave on April 12th.
April 12th.
So it's the weekend of April 12th. They have two rounds on Saturday and on Sunday. And then the top 10 competes on Monday.
So do you know what your question is? In other words, okay, so is the question that you wrote in the fall the same question that you're... No, not. Okay. So, Abe, what's the question that you've gotten for April? What are you preparing for now? What's the question?
Well, we have three, but one that particularly interested me and then I'm in the process of working on now is a question about state experimentation with policy. Justice Brandeis, in a case that he heard and dissented on in the past, wrote was very supportive of state experimentation in the framework of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And the question concerns how federalism empowers this state experimentation.
Okay.
And how it aligns with popular sovereignty.
That's okay. That's good.
And additionally, what cases we think would best warrant state experimentation.
So what areas of law you'd be willing to say the states should have sole control over or majority control over? Used to be marriage, for example. That was a classic one. And then the Supreme Court said that, yes, but, right?
Yeah.
Said, yes, but when it comes to same-sex marriage, states can no longer discriminate and say that people of same sex cannot be married. But that was a classic one. That was mm-hmm. a big difference between federal and state. What about you, Sorrel? What's yours?
We also have three questions, and one of ours is about the New England town meeting and how the New England town meeting kind of contributed to democracy in America. So when you think of New England town meeting, I don't know if you watch Gilmore Girls, but
who doesn't watch Gilmore Girls?
I know,
Girls?
Right?
Right.
When they all go to the barn and Taylor Dozie has the gavel.
Right.
And, you know, people are able to stand up and participate.
Mm-hmm.
So such a big part of that civic participation has contributed to democracy in America.
Yes, it has. You know what I think the most crucial thing that you should be asking yourself? It's a Zoom hybrid or Zoom meetings exclusively help or hurt that? Because I have very strong opinions about that. So I got here in 1989, and I'm a big mouth. So I'm at a lot of these town meetings, and I desperately miss during COVID the fact that people were together in a room, because I think there is real value to being in the audience, to seeing the body language, to the trend that's happening as it's being heard in real time. And while I believe that it is nice for people to be able to attend who can't attend otherwise, it's nice, it should not substitute for the actual town meeting. And that a lot of boards and commissions have gotten lazy, and they are less serving their communities than themselves when they say, you know what, we're going to do this all on Zoom. I don't feel that it serves the public interest.
Yeah.
And I feel very strongly about that. And Connecticut passed a law that I think was ill-advised after COVID that allows municipalities to continue with these Zoom meetings without mandating that they also be in person. I'm all for hybrid. Great. Hybrid up the wazoo. But don't substitute that for the ability for people to attend in person. So I think we ought to change our law in Connecticut. I think it was ill-advised.
I just have a quick question then.
Yep.
What was your perspective on distance learning? Well, it was in place.
I felt that the, and I said this on the air many times, teachers who are listening know I've said this, I feel like our teachers failed our students. I felt it after the first 3 to 6 months when nobody knew what was happening, that's cool. But after about 3 or 6 months, it happened in March, by the following September, we already knew that people were not going to die from COVID. They were not, largely, unless they were already somebody in another situation. And I felt like with masks and whatever appropriate things we should have had, that kids should have been in the classroom. That's what I feel. What do you feel?
Yeah, I think there's absolutely something to be said for how much value we get from seeing people like Miss Kamerman face to face. I mean, being
and each
here.
Other.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, what do you think, Abe?
Yeah, I totally agree. I also would say that I think the teachers, more than anyone, wanted us to get back in the classroom.
But it didn't seem that way, though, from a public policy point of view.
Maybe not, but the teachers aren't really the ones making the, those decisions. It's mostly the superintendent and people higher level and board of ed, people like that. I think that Miss Kamerman absolutely would have loved to see us in the
what
classroom,
think,
even
Ms.
though
Kamerman?
We were much younger.
They're speaking for you. What do you think?
I do think that there's no substitute to being in person, and I saw that with my own children.
Oh, your own children,
yeah.
Of course.
But and then, you know, I do think the movement to in person eventually was really important. But it is amazing what I was able to accomplish sometimes on Zoom. Particularly, we did We the People through COVID.
Did you?
And,
good for you for keeping it up.
And we really could sit there at night on Zoom and accomplish quite a bit, which was really nice to be able to have that ability to also meet at odd times and to
well,
be able
again,
to do.
Well, again, I think it's...
Right.
I think, look, it was great to have in the crisis, and it's great to have as supplement, but it should not have been a substitute for too long for education, right?
Yeah, it was the hybrid learning was difficult.
For you, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how the teachers manage. I don't know how you did it.
It was hard, too, when you have children at home. And then you're also trying to teach a class.
I can't imagine it, Ms. Cameraman. I cannot imagine it.
I'm happy we're all back in the classroom and doing what we need to be doing.
Yeah, so. I hope we never have to face that particular crisis again. There'll be others, but I hope we don't have to face this one again. Well, it's wonderful to see your bright, smiling faces. Now, are you seniors? What am I doing here? No? Juniors?
We're both juniors.
And are you guys thinking, you're STEMI, right? So you're not thinking about becoming a lawyer, but... You're not sure.
Not necessarily.
And what about you?
I'd like math and science to a degree, but I'm definitely much more of a humanities person. I love performing. I love public speaking. So I definitely want to do something in social studies or political science. I don't know, something like that.
Okay. Well, good luck on the national stage. I hope Connecticut takes home a prize. I hope it's yours. I hope it's Trumbull's. I hope something from Connecticut takes home a national prize. And thank you so much for joining us today on the show. Pleasure to meet all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. And as always, feel free to contact me at Lisa@lisawexler.com.